Good afternoon, I'm Kate Manahan. Thank you for joining me for the 96th edition of New Mainers Speak. This is a weekly half-hour program where you can hear firsthand about the lives of some of Maine's immigrants. During the show, we visit with individuals regarding their life stories and enduring hopes as New Mainers. Today, my guest is Mohammed Al-Behadli. He is 19 years old and originally from Karbala, Iraq, now attending Portland High School as a postgraduate. He lives on his own, but is well-networked in the community and is presently awaiting word from his many college applications. Welcome to New Mainers Speak, Mohammed.
Hey, thank you.
It's so fun to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
So what can you tell us about your childhood in Karbala, Iraq, one of the most sacred places in the world for Shia Muslims?
Oh, I can tell you so much. Well, I was born there. I spent almost 16 years of my life there, basically till I came here. I lived in a really big house there and in an area or a village, I would call it, called Al-Bahadliya, which is, I think, it's like my tribe's name, Al-Bahadli, my class name. And it just that name just took over the whole thing there, the area, the people, I would call it. I don't know, everything.
Yeah.
My city is really famous in Islam, I would call it, like it's considered as a holy place in Islam because it has the shrine of Imam Hussein, which is centered and takes a place in the center of the city. And it's basically like people visit that place like in a Nawal. Well, like yearly, once a year.
Mm-hmm. Like they do Mecca, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. The difference is that in Mecca, they do it like, so like last year or this year, people, when they visit, it would go up to like, I don't know, like a few millions, but that's over a span of like 20 days. So people would come in and then leave, from all around the world. But like in Mecca, they're like only those people are being chosen, and they you have only like let's say 3 millions or something. So they would go there, they would stay there in that city. That's why like it would go up to like, I don't know, 10 million here in Kabbalah, because they come in and then leave. So that's a big event in Kabbalah, and it's like really famous in that.
And it's the most beautiful architecture.
Yeah.
Yeah, I looked at it online.
You did?
Yes.
Like on the shrine?
Yes.
Yeah.
Say the name of the shrine.
So there are two shrines there.
Facing each other?
Yeah, facing each other. One is for Imam Hussein, who is the third descendant of the Prophet Muhammad. And then there is his brother, whose name is Abbas. And so he's just like right across of it. And that one has the, I don't know, what do you call it? Has like two minarets, I would call it, or something.
Minarets.
Yeah, and it has like beautiful arc, like curves and
beautiful.
Yeah,
blues and whites and golds together.
Yeah, it's so refreshing to get in there. Actually, I would go there every Thursday when I was there.
Did you really?
I would go with my best friend. We would just walk because it's like so nice.
Yes,
to walk there.
Gorgeous place.
Yeah, and we'd get in. It's just a beautiful place. It's a beautiful. Beautiful place to be at.
I like this picture of your home.
Yeah.
Your home city. It's about the size of Portland, you said?
Yeah, it's about the size of Portland. And it's mostly covered with, I would call it grooves. I always say that.
Groves.
Yeah.
Groves yeah. of trees.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's just beautiful there.
It's lovely. Really is. So having attended high school in both Iraq and here in Maine, I wonder what you can tell us about the differences of being a student in both of these cultures.
Let's see. So when I was in Iraq, I would, like, we wouldn't really have much of a freedom in class, like here. Like here, I can easily talk with my friend or like, ask a question at any time I want and maybe get, like, have a debate maybe with the teacher. That's what I like about my psych class. But in Iraq, I mean, it's cool there, but it's, the thing is that you can't really, it's much of a, like, it's considered not polite to talk with your friend or to do something without getting a permission from your teacher. like it could be as easy as opening your bag and getting something out of it. That's not polite. You need to ask for it. You cannot move. You cannot even go to the bathroom.
So you're probably not texting under the desk.
Oh, definitely. You can't even have your phone in the school anyways. It might be, what is it called? Confiscated or something like that. Mm-hmm. They would just take it from you. That's like really, people would look at that person here, there as somebody who's got drugs in school here. This is that bad.
Wow.
So, despite the fact that there's not much of a freedom there, but it's mostly like respect. That's like the theme there. So the teachers are very respected there. Well respected, actually. And that's something that I don't really... I can't say that I can't see here, but here is like they're less respected, I would say, mm-hmm. in a way. What else?
How about the content? When you're in a very structured classroom, do you end up learning a whole lot?
That's a great question. I still can remember things from my class. My classrooms, like lessons or like whatever classes that I took in physics in Iraq, that I really understood and like well, and like I maintained the subject and everything. It was hard, but like I can't really forget it anymore because like the method they taught us by like the method they used was really good. It kind of feels awkward to actually talk about it here because I'm getting classes and I'm wondering what if my teacher is going to hear this or is he going to say, but it's different here. It's mostly about just getting work done on time and like getting my papers turned in and that's it. It doesn't really stick to my mind that much.
It's not as rigorous.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But they're like, the teacher has more of an experience than just like dealing with students. It's just he teaches with his experience, but here I can't really say that much about it, but I just don't really think that I can grasp on the subject.
They're very different styles.
Yeah,
aren't they?
It's just, yeah, it might be just very different than
and I know that there when you take your college entrance exams, they will tell you, okay, you're going to be a computer science person or you're going to be a doctor and this is where you're going to go.
Yeah,
right. So far less decision making on your part. Here you are at that juncture in your life and you're writing college essays and finding out our crazy system, right?
Yeah.
And so what do you think of this? What would you make of it?
That's like the big change that I like here is that so in Iraq, GPA would decide everything for us. We would not be able to even choose where to go, where to study, like even what city, like you can't really do that. Your GPA decides everything. Here I have much of it, like I have the freedom that I need to actually like choose a thing I like to study. It's just a matter of paying for college here, and that's like the bummer. But
and if you can get into college there, it's all paid for by the state. Is that correct?
Yeah, if you get into college, it's already paid for. But some people would prefer to go to a private college, which doesn't really care. Or like they care less about your GPA, maybe. So people like, let's say if I got a GPA that would qualify me to only study engineering, let's say, and I want to be a doctor, I would not be able to attend a public university that I can study medical field. So I would try to attend a private school, and that way I would have to pay, and that's what it gets up to, like I don't know, 8,000 or like 9 or 10,000, mm-hmm. but it's still not that expensive comparing it to here. I mean, 10,000 is really not that much here.
Right.
Yeah.
No, it's not, unfortunately. If you were there, do you have a sense of what you might be doing at this point in your life had you stayed?
Oh, man. I left just about, I had only 1 year to finish in high school and I would be done with it and go off to college, uncertain future. I don't know what I would be doing right now. I have a friend of mine who just tried to do just like the same thing I'm doing here, but like for a different reason. He finished the last year in high school. He didn't get the GPA that he liked. So he said, I'm going to do it again. And he's just doing it again and again. I had a cousin of mine who repeated that year for like three times because he didn't get the GPA he liked.
He kept working at it.
Yeah.
It's really admirable, actually. What a fabulous mindset.
Yeah.
To keep working until you get to where you want to be.
True, but I don't know. It gets to a certain point where you don't really want to do it anymore and just give up.
Yeah.
But the friend of mine, as I said, he's just doing it again. Right now, he's just trying to get the GPA he wants. I'm not sure what would I be doing right now. I'd probably just get the GPA I would like. And because I don't really believe that I should do it again and get a higher GPA.
So you'd go with what you had.
Yeah, but I would have to work hard for it. So if I did the hardest thing I could do, like if I worked really hard for it and I got that GPA, then okay, that is it.
Yeah, just roll with it.
Yeah.
I had a guest on from Iraq who ended up being told she would study computer science, and she was devastated at first. That's not what she wanted. But when she got there, she ended up learning about it and really liking the field too. And when she came here, she went for what she wanted to study, which was to be a doctor. She started all over, went cool. back. But I liked that that realization that sometimes we find out that we love what we're doing anyway.
Yeah. It just doesn't feel that good to be forced to do something.
No.
Especially studying for the rest of your life.
Like yes.
Something you don't like.
That's not good, is it?
Yeah. And like you can't really change the major there. That's another thing about it. It's like you get in it. That's it. That's your destiny. Or like something like that. You can't really change it. So.
That's really different than it is here.
Yeah, it is. That's why I like it here.
So you're a post-grad and you're in a unique ELL class. That's English Language Learners. Otherwise known as ESL, and it's taught by Jen Lunt, and she helps to teach you how to be a translator or an interpreter. And I think that's a pretty fantastic way to help multilingual kids to develop their strengths with these multiple cultures that people come with. And I wonder if you could tell us about your interview project that you're working on in that class.
Yeah, it's a great project. What we're doing right now is that we're trying to interview people from different backgrounds, and it's preferred to be somebody who's like, let's say I'm from Iraq, I would interview somebody from Iraq, or like we speak at least the same language. And so we would do that, we would do an interview with them, we would basically maybe talk about the process of coming here, being an asylum seeker, what did they have to go through, in the U.S., and then we kind of we're having that, I think, on April 1st. I think we're going to have I forgot what's the name for it. The
show or a demonstration?
Yeah, yeah, and everybody's going to come to the school and see our work and what we did. So basically we were assigned as a groups. I'm working alone on my subject right now. So I would be interviewing him and then get back and try to kind of write everything down. And like kind of like we're working right now on the hook and thesis and all this kind of stuff to like write and kind of getting trained to write it the best way we could, and then have the photographs of that person and then put it on a wall and then have the people come in. It's just a great project.
It's a great project.
Yeah, I love it.
That's super. I like that your teacher is so forward thinking and coming up with, you know, instead of saying you don't have, your English isn't good enough yet, it's saying, wow, let's use what you have in spades, you know, play this hand well, and then add to it more English skills
yeah.
as you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
The teacher is just so excited about it, and that's what gets us excited about it, too. It's like she's really on it. Like, let's do this, let's do that, and we're just so excited.
I love that.
We just follow, yeah.
So your life's presented you with different opportunities than you may have expected. And I wonder what you're hoping to do next after you finish at Portland High School this year.
Oh, getting into college. I'm so excited to get in college, actually. I came back for another year just to kind of get cleared on what I want to study and what to do with college and how to apply for it.
What do you want to study?
I always think about that question. I can only see three fields for me. Is it biology and psychology and international relations? I'm finding out about myself that I'm leaning toward international relations. I don't really know that much about it, but I feel like I would do a great job there. I don't know why. Maybe because I like to kind of work with people and like I like connections. I like to make connections and, like, I don't know, do something that is a little bit big.
I could see you doing this, and coming from a family of leaders, it makes sense that this would make sense for you, I think.
I really hope so.
You're listening to WMPG, and if you're just joining us, welcome. This is New Mainers Speak. I'm Kate Manahan, and my guest today is Mohammed Abahadli. He is a young man from Karbala, Iraq, who is having some rather amazing experiences here and writing about them. So, Mohammed, as I understand it, you're one of the students at the Telling Rooms Young Writers and Leaders Program. I wonder what you can share with us about that program.
Oh my gosh, such an awesome program. What we do there is that, well, first of all, we had to go through an interview or something so that we could, like, they had to make interviews and choose the people that they wanted. And after that, after we heard of our acceptance, I got in. And the first thing we started working on is a poetry. It was my first experience writing a poem or something. And it was really, I was really anxious about that. But we learned that real quick, and we wrote our own poems. And then we read them in front of a big audience. It was in Mayo Street. And that was my first experience doing that. So that felt really good after we did it, not before. it was awesome. Then we started working on our stories. So basically, the 15 students were paired up with mentors. So I have my own mentor, and we started working on my story and what I want to tell people about myself. And so I've been working since, I don't know, a long time. I think it was it's been for a month and something. We've been writing our own stories, and it's basically my stories basically go through the process of coming here, applying for a visa, coming here, going to different places in the U.S. and having, like, figuring out what to do next, and basically, yeah, I think that is it.
Then what do they do with all these stories they capture from these foreign-born children?
Yeah, so the cool thing about it is that you have your own story published in a book. So by the end of, I think, on the 17th, I'm going to read, I think on the 20-something this month, they're going to be published in a book. So you'd have a book that has all the 15 stories there for the 15 students. And they're going to publish it.
I've seen some of these books, and they read a lot like New Mainers Speak.
Right? Cool.
People tell their stories, and there's a picture, and these young people have really worked through their stories to come up with a beautiful way to tell their own story. It's a great coming of age project.
Yeah, we'd spend so much time actually working on those, and that's why they pair us up with a mentor that is just only focused on our, like, it's only me and him working on my story. He's just helping me to kind of get it out there, like.
And these mentors aren't just volunteers off the street, right? They're actual writers.
Yeah. Yeah, they are. And, they have so much, actually. We have the artists. We have, like, the scientists. We have the writer, like, my mentor. It's just awesome. It's just so great. Like, it's not like random people. They pair them up with you according to what they know about your personality and theirs. And then we meet them at that special day. It's just awesome.
I like how the writing and leading go together, because it takes a lot of guts to stand up in public and read something that's personal. And then people see you as a leader and start inviting you to things like, you know, New Mainers Speak.
Yeah, exactly. That's one of those advantages, yeah.
And then all of a sudden, your story's kind of out there, and so are you.
Yeah, I mean, it makes you feel comfortable talking to people about your own story. I've seen, like, before last year, so many friends of mine, like a friend of mine who actually got in the program, I started seeing the difference on him. Like how the first time he got in, and then when he got out, like, finished the program, like, I started to notice so much different about his personality. Like, he's so comfortable talking to, like, strangers or, like, people. He would start the conversation. What is it? Like, his personality changed so much, actually.
And
so,
really matured, it sounds, yeah, like, in the process.
Yeah. And I was like, wait a minute. What did they do to you there? Like, let me just get in.
Do you think that the Telling Rooms program has changed you at all in the process?
Definitely. And I was looking forward to that change, actually. So after I noticed what happened to my friend there, I'm like, I'm going to get in, and I will see what's going to happen. I got in the telling room, and I started to notice that I can there's just so much in me that I didn't really know about, like the writing. I thought I hate writing. I thought I really do. I mean, I know I have my own journal. Like when I was in Iraq, I was write sometimes in it, but now it feels like more of a, it's like painting right now. It's not like, it's just not writing, like, I don't know, on paper and something. It's much of like how to tweak it and how to say the right thing and how to hook people into it. And it's like a whole thing there.
It's more art than you realize.
Yeah. And then you that part, and then you have the other thing, which is like you getting your story out in the best way. How to like get people to learn from it, maybe. I hope.
I hope so too.
Yeah, it's just a great program. I really love it.
You have an unusual story, which we're not fully going into all details on here today, but people will be able to hear it in your story that you read an excerpt from on Thursday night at the Telling Room, and also it'll be in that book. And I don't know, when you're famous, we'll all hear it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So do your parents know about all the things you're doing here in the United States?
Definitely. I'm basically in touch with them every day. Basically, I mean, just before we walked in here, I was just texting my dad. I think that we have a really strong relationship, and like family. So in my religion, family is like the most important thing in life, and it just has like that strong bond there. So the people are looked at, if you're not really connected with your family that way, you're looked at as a bad person or something like that in my, I would say, community there and like religious aspect. But so here, like, I really am connected to my family so much that they know, and like they're so excited to hear about what's the next thing I'm gonna do, what's the project I'm doing here, what is it, like the radio show. I was invited to this radio show. Hey dad, I called him like, hey, how do you like this? And he's like, wow, that's cool, that's awesome. And we literally were working on like choosing the music that I was gonna play or something. So it's really nice. It's awesome.
I imagine they're very proud of you for being able to find and take advantage of so many opportunities here.
I really hope so. That's what I'm hoping to for.
Yeah. So just briefly, you said you like to volunteer and get out and do things. I wonder if you could just list off for us some of the other things you've done here that your parents might know about all the way back in Iraq.
Yeah, sure. Well, the first thing I'd like to start off with is the Furniture Friends thing, because that I volunteered with that through my, there's a group called Bright Future Group in my high school that I'm part of. And they, they told us about, there's something called Furniture Friends, and we can go there and help people move out or like donate furniture, move furniture for free or something. So I volunteered there the first time and I liked it so much. I met so many people there, different people, and I got to visit so many people and like see the smile of like, I could see the impact of what I'm doing right, like right in front of me. So I loved it. I kept going back there and like do so much there. I also like to work with 4-H group. We do so much other than farming. I know that it's known for farming.
They do public speaking, yeah, too, don't they?
Yeah. Like I worked with them too. I taught kids in the summer science. They call it summer science. I taught kids like science and like experiments and all those kind of stuff throughout the summer. We would go to Ronald McDonald's house to help cooking for, I don't know, people who live there.
So, yeah, that's nice.
World's Partners for Health, I think. We would go there and help pack him medicine supplies,
yes,
to other countries.
Featured Partners for World Health before. Yeah. They do great work.
Yeah, yeah, it's awesome. So we do so much about that. I also like to work on my own projects sometimes. Right now I'm working on two videos. One that highlights like an Arabic school that was created by a small Muslim community in Poland. It was basically created by like a small group of women that thought they could have their own small mosque and school. And so they found a place in First Parish Unitarian Church. Right now they have in their classes there for Arabic for kids. So I thought I could make a video of that and like highlight it there and put it out to the public.
Lovely. Are you doing that with CTN5?
Yeah, I'm doing that with CTN5.
Wonderful.
So yeah, we use their cameras and their studio. And yeah, so much.
So Muhammad, that's a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
I'm amazed that you can juggle it all.
Yeah.
You are so young to be so independent. And I know that that's taken a lot of courage to put yourself out there and take life up on all it has to offer. I'm really impressed by your integrity and your warmth through it all. And thank you very sincerely for being my guest today.
Sure, it's my pleasure.
I'm Kate Manahan in the studio with my guest, Mohammed Al-Bihadli. Would you be so kind to introduce the song you've chosen to close today's program with?
Sure. It's the national anthem of Iraq. It's just always so touchy to hear it.
Great. So I hope you all will enjoy.
الجلال والجمال والسناء والسناء.